It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to set sail with the Browns here in a second. I gotta tell you about this morning. lost my keys as I got this loaner because, you know, I backed my truck into a fire hydrant.
It's one thing after another.
It's been a week, man. It has been a week. And so this morning, I was like getting ready to leave. I'm on time. Everything's good. And I'm going, where are these keys? And I'm running around. It becomes a massive panic. And it happens very quickly if I can't find my keys. Because my truck is backed up to the garage door. So I'm like, if I can't make it out of here in some modicum of time, I have to do the show from the house. I can't take Liz's car. And then she can't take kids to school. Like the whole...
screws up everything.
The entire operation goes straight to hell. I'm walking around the living room. I'm going to a place I knew I was not at last night. Trying to look for these keys. It got to the point, I go upstairs, I go, got to get Liz involved, she's asleep, I flick on the lights, I start running around, what's going on? I lost my keys, okay, I'll help. And so she starts walking around, do you remember what you were wearing? Yeah, I remember what I was wearing. And I'm in such a panic, I'm like moving hastily, I start sweating, I look like Karen in Goodfellas when they do the federal raid on him, and she's like cutting the coke up and putting it in the toilet.
I'm jealous.
All the keys we have.
I'm jealous that Liz was like nice when she woke up.
Well,
right
knows,
out of her stone-dead sleep,
see,
and she was nice.
It's an
my
escalation.
Wife, my wife, this would have been something I'm hearing about for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and you ruined another night of sleep, one for me.
Well, she knows
if it wasn't
that,
for your snoring or your coming to bed later or your alarm clock
going
off.
That's why you need to do the once-a-week meltdown, because once a week, I will lose my mind
in
the morning.
She's used to it.
She's used to it. And I'll slam cupboards. It's, by the way, that's a family tradition. My late mother used to do that. She would slam. She'd get mad at my dad, and she'd slam the cupboard doors and all that stuff, and whip the drawers closed and all that stuff. And you'd hear the silverware rattling around afterwards. It was such a dramatic, ridiculous thing. And I'm a dramatic, ridiculous person. So it got to the point I got desperate. Because the truck opened up, so I left it unlocked overnight, which is not the right thing to do, but there's nothing in there because it's a loaner. I got nothing in there. So, but I was in a hurry, and I freak out, and it got to the point, yesterday was trash day. I had a bag of trash at the bottom of the trash can. I pick up the trash bag, I rip it open, and everything, coffee grounds, the whole thing, and I am digging through the trash and just throwing trash back in the receptacle. So in the garage, 4:20 in the morning, I'm digging trash out. Actually, no, because I was looking around for about, it was almost a half an hour. So it was like 4:40 in the morning. I am digging trash out. I'm angry because I'm way behind now. Way behind. I'm sweating again profusely, and I'm digging trash out of my, in the garage at 4:30 in the morning. I can't find it. Liz goes upstairs. I get rid of that. I go in, I wash my hands. They're not in the garbage. I didn't think I threw them away. They're not in the garbage. I go inside, I wash my hands, I turn around, and there is, Owen's going to laugh, There's Axel's whatever folder they send kids home with that you'll know about someday. Like,
what color is it?
Yellow.
Okay. We do a red mostly. Okay. Sometimes a green.
Yeah, you'll have a color. You will have a colored folder.
What's very important.
Yeah, you will have
how you get information.
Exactly. Yeah, they send it home with the kid every day. It's supposed to be like your thing, even though they send emails like 8 times a day. So I don't know why
it's
we can't just put it in an email.
You can just text me.
Yeah, or they could. Yeah, we text the teacher, so it doesn't matter. And next to it was a play sheet from practice yesterday. And underneath the play sheet, I went, oh, my God. And I took the play sheet, and right under there was the keys. I went, got them, and ran out of the house. Just ran out of the house and took off like I was robbing my own home.
Isn't it just the most amazing feeling ever once you see the keys?
It's a relief. But then, I'm just like, oh, my God.
But there had to come a point where you thought it wasn't going to happen. Like, your whole weekend was going to be messed up by this.
In my head, I'm preparing for, I'm like, all right, I got to get the Comrex out. I got to go downstairs. I got to call Owen.
Well, you have
I got to find a channel. You're going to be annoyed because I'm not in studio. I'm going to be annoyed because I'm not in
studio. Just like when I had the flat, you have to set a time in your head where you go, okay.
Point of no return.
Abandon the plan. Here's the new plan.
In my head, I was going 5:15 is the absolute latest.
I can't make it to the show. I got to do it.
5:15 is the absolute, because I don't know if there's any wreck, I'm not going to make it. So I have to account for that time in case there's any slowdown, because there is a difference between 4 a.m. traffic and 5 a.m. traffic here. There is a big difference. And I had to account all that. So yeah, it was a hellish morning.
Yeah, that sounds miserable. The sweating.
So it's time to get coffee.
You had plenty of time to spare. The sweating, I totally have been there. It sucks. When you're in a mad scramble.
Sweat. The sweat was ridiculous.
And especially because I go from when I wake up walking on eggshells, like making sure the floorboards aren't loud, because if I wake up one child, one baby, or one miserable wife, then the whole thing gets thrown into flux. And I go from that to, there have been times when, I don't know what happened last night, maybe a few bourbons, and then the keys are somewhere where they're not supposed to be. And now it goes to lights on, going in and out of doors, opening, closing, and you're right. It changes the entire dynamic.
And I got mad because I am a creature of habit, and I am very, I'll be careful how to say, I'm anal retentive about these things. Like yesterday, Axel was digging through the one drawer looking for something left. I go, one day you will learn to, and I said it like this. I go, your mother's never learned this. And I said, one day you will learn that you need to have things and then put them back so you can find them again. And one day you'll learn that, and then you will officially be on your way to being a grown adult man. And that's what I said to him, because I was disappointed in him, because he's like, I can't hang in. I go, because you take things and just leave them somewhere and that's it. Because these are different keys, if I had my old regular keys, I'd have hung them up where they go.
That changes
everything.
But because
there's these tassels here on these keys, these pasties, I just left them there and then took the play sheet and went like that, which doesn't even matter. Oh, by the way.
The thing I took from this whole story was installing a new defense for the bowl game.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
No,
it's fine. You say what you want to say now.
No,
the cat's out of the bag. Kid.
No siree, bub. I thought I was going to be able to surprise you about this. Saturday, Northwest High School, silver championship bracket against the Indians. Not telling you what time. Maybe shouldn't have told you that. I got to call the defense. No, the thing is going to be a different defense, because I got to call the defense on Saturday.
I have leftover mustaches from my kid's Halloween costume yesterday. Probably going to slap that on, hit the wig.
Oh, I told you. I was willing to go watch other teams, and then somebody sent me
Northwest, maybe the little Connor Stallions action on the Northwest sideline.
Yeah, you know what? We execute. So you go ahead and you try to beat us. We execute. It is kind of sort of over by Tesla.
Still a team called the Indians?
Let's not get into that.
216-474-0092.
Canal Fulton, react to us. I got to call defense on Saturday, which I'm not thrilled about. And then
booth or no booth?
I should try to get up in that booth. Like, we can't see you. There's no headset. What are you doing up there?
Yeah, why? He's just yelling the calls down.
Well, that makes it easy. Let's do it. Booth or no booth?
I'd love to see Kenny up there. You take the steps, or would you go elevator?
It's a high school stadium. You got to go right through the crowd, which is probably not fun in some parts of Stark County. Yeah. If you're losing at halftime.
Oh, that's got to be a mess.
There has to. I never even thought about that in my life. There has to be. There. I guarantee you, there's an old Maslin assistant coach who's like, yeah, that's not a fun run up there if you're down at half.
I like the ones where they have to get on the ladders. They have to get on the ladders and literally climb their way to the box. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's like a fire escape in the 30s.
Yeah. So not only is your team getting their ass kicked, and then at halftime you have to calmly but very delicately go down the staircase before you even go through the crowd.
Mm-hmm. And all those coaches, they're all excited to get down there at halftime and do some coaching. It's like, no, wait, Agnes is the season ticket holder, and you will not be getting in her way. She needs to go get a hot dog and get back to her seat before the home team band starts playing. Yeah, you will be waiting on her. Yep, that's how that goes. They got their play sheets.
The entire production has started.
Yep. So, yeah, that was my morning, and we're getting ready.
You know, if you would have bought that house in Chagrin Falls, you wouldn't have had this problem. Just walk over to the fishbowl and grab
you
a new
chair. That's true. I got to take somebody else's house. I looked at two houses in Chagrin Falls back in the day. But we, Streetsboro was just kismet. I don't know how else to say it. But yeah, Fan Bowl 1, 92.3, the Fan Bowl 1 coming up Sunday. I'm excited about that. We'll talk more about that later on. You watched the, almost said Sunday night, Thursday night game last night. I hate the Jets helmets. I hate the Jets uniforms.
I like the helmets.
I think they're terrible looking. Just go back to the white helmets with the Jets logo on the side. Go back to the, everything old is new again. Like you saw, like, I think it might just be how the jerseys fit now. Like before, it was all loose and flowing in the 80s, and it just kind of looked like it was painted on the side of a house, like that very quickly.
The old Denver didn't like it. That now that it's nice and form-fitting,
yeah. Love it. Well, I always like, Lyman and I were the same. Like, as much as you can hate the Broncos, I was like, oh, the old helmet looks way better than the new helmet.
I saw a guy last night trick-or-treating with his kids, and he had the old Broncos logo on his hat, and I'm like, that's a bygone era. I'd like to be right back into that era.
Yeah. Because everybody, we are the most nostalgic generation because we grew up the richest generation of children. People don't realize that. And so what's old is new again. So now that we're in our late 30s, early 40s, like creamsicle Tampa Bay jerseys, holy Toledo, those looked good the other day. And I was never a fan when I was a kid, like, even with Eric Rett wearing them. I was like, whatever.
We want the Patriots.
Oh, my God, the Patriots jerseys are amazing.
Patriot Pat.
Pat snapping the football.
I see these Jets jerseys. I'm like, this sucks. These jerseys are terrible. And it's
what
just
about
a microcosm of how bad. When you're bad in a bad jersey, it's even worse. I think the face mask makes it worse. I don't like the green face mask.
You didn't like green?
No. No, green is, in a lot of ways, it kind of symbolizes bad luck, the whole thing. It's just, it's tough.
They sucked me in. I can tell you the Browns sucked me back in because I would not really have cared about that game last night, but I had a rooting interest. I was rooting for Houston. And then, of course, it was a setback because the Jets won. Now the Browns have another team to climb over.
Yeah, I didn't.
Setbacks paved the way for comebacks.
I didn't realize this, but you know what? It makes me happy. Because Tone,
I was falling out.
You're back.
Of that.
You're back in.
Yeah.
You realize you are back in. Tone is back in the mix. Everybody. He was like, it's. I don't want to get my hopes up. Nope. Tone's back in the mix. Everybody. He's back with the group. He's excited again. You paying attention now?
Yeah, I was last night because I sat there. Did you know the Jets so nice. Were favored in last night's game? Which, by the records, this is why people lose so much money on gambling. If I would have just told you, what's the point spread, or asked you what the point spread was last night, or who was favored, you would have definitely said the Texans.
I would have said the Texans, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I wouldn't have known the spread off the top of my head.
The Texans were 6-2 going into that game last night. The Jets were 2-6, yet the 2-6 team was the favored team. And turns out, there's a reason. Vegas must have known something, because a couple touchdowns, later touchdowns, and the Jets win the game. So now you have another team ahead of the Browns. Browns are 2-6. Jets are 3-6.
Well, if we win on Sunday, will we be right back in the thick of things?
We have to win. I mean, it's not even
that's a must win.
It's not even a question.
But you understand, like, are they still ahead of us even if we win by some version of some tiebreaker?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what the tiebreaker is.
Okay, I want to see that. That's all. So there you go.
Well, we haven't played any. All the games that we lost.
I don't think they would. It depends now. That was an AFC game. We're playing an AFC game. They were not ahead of us before yesterday. They are now. So.
Well, I mean, we are playing an AFC opponent that's 4-3 as well. Well, even though that...
Well, and they are technically the 7th seed right now, the Chargers. So you would...
The Texans are doing that thing where, you know, and that's kind of the... It's kind of the curse of it. Like the 2020 Browns to 2021, it's like, ooh, we're going to take a bit of a step back here because of injuries and whatever. The Texans, I think you're still seeing, like, they're a good team, but right now it's kind of like they're in a... Have you watched the Texans much this year?
Just mostly red zone.
Boy, they grind it out.
Yeah, they do.
Like, they were not... Like, C.J. Stroud, don't get me wrong, I think C.J. Stroud's great, but, man, they're grinding these wins out, and like some people are like, well, shouldn't they be running? It's like, well, no, we hype up teams, but it doesn't make them out to be like the Death Star 2020 Alabama Crimson Tide. Like, it's still professional football. And so I'm balancing that with like, boy, some of these things just don't look, they look sloppy. Some of the penalties look sloppy when I watch Houston. It's just, maybe it's a little bit like, hey, maybe this is the natural order of things. Like, they're still a playoff team, but how far do they go there? Like, I just think like that. Because they're still young. They're still such a young group.
Who looks like that outside of what? Detroit? Detroit this year? I mean, every time I see them, they are just running up and down the field. They look like the fastest team I've seen in like 20 years.
I still really like Kansas City. That Mike Renner guy who used to be a Pro Football Focus, he was like, they're an overrated. They're a paper tiger 6-0 team. I go, I don't know how you can call 6-0 teams or undefeated teams paper tigers or whatever. But I do think that if you watch some of these games, it's like there's holes there. Can you beat Mahomes to be able to make up for the holes or beat the holes, like that type of thing? So it's one of them deals that you kind of have to understand because so many games are won on the margins, and because so many of the games are won on the margins. I think that if you have the right team on the right day, like, yeah, you can beat Cincinnati. You can beat anybody in the NFL. It's just how you put it together week by week, I think, makes that deal. So it makes that difference. So now when I watch the Browns, like, all right, we've had one great week of football. Can we make it two great weeks of football? Or is, like, DeJuan Jones going to get figured out over at left tackle? Or will they put Jed Wills back there at left tackle? Like, one of them things. Because I don't think a lot of people have a lot of faith in that.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, one game in the NFL this week already in the books. The Jets come from behind to defeat the Texans 21-13. Aaron Rodgers, 22 of 32, 211 yards, kept getting sacked. And in the first half, Kenny, I was like, this isn't gonna work this year. This is not going to last. I keep giving him a chance. Now he ends up with the win. But if you get any pass rush on him whatsoever, he is just going down in a heap.
Yeah, they've had offensive line problems all year. You know, they've went out and got guys that can't help them. Mekhi Becton's injured, to say the least. Has had problems here recently. I mean, they're in real trouble over there with their offensive line. It's Tyron Smith, right, went there? And he's just been a shell of him. He was an often injured tackle with the Dallas Cowboys. Elite when he was healthy. But he is a shell of his former self. Go ahead.
Well, we did have a bit of a wild sequence in that game as Malachi Corley thought he was on his way to scoring his first NFL touchdown for the Jets. But the rookie wide receiver ended up doing this.
Corley running to the right. Corley's got room. Down the sideline. Touchdown! Jets! Malachi Corley! The first of his NFL career!
But he was a guy... Oh, look. He crossed the goal line and dropped the ball.
Lost early on the field of a touchdown is under further review.
This would be my. Another to put on the film for New York.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
York Jets lore.
The runner dropped the ball before crossing the goal line. It is a touchback. It's a first down for the defense.
Wait, a wild turn of events in a game like that. There might be nothing more annoying. I mean, we've had some few famous instances of this in football, but you would think, Kenny, have you had to talk to your kids? Owen, have you had to talk to your kids to never let this happen? Do you tell them about Leon Lett? Do you tell them about?
Do I really need to tell my son about?
I don't know.
That, all the kids, Ken. You have a responsibility.
Oh, the players. Yeah.
That's fine. We see whose team is more prepared. That's fine.
I thought he meant my son.
Wow, some cracks.
You know what? We did have a situation that was close to this, and we had a very strong eye-to-eye conversation about that earlier this year.
We don't have this problem. We either throw it to the back of the end zone or do a flip over the goal line.
Well, that's what Ronnie McLeod does. He does the flip.
We get together and we do a version of Riverdance the same way the Browns did in week one. Don't even say it because we had a much better record to finish the season than the Browns, so I don't even want to hear that.
That was an amazing dance.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, the thing is, if you were Ronnie McLeod's, now he doesn't have kids old enough to do this yet, but he would have to tell his kids, you cannot do what I do on your way to the end zone.
Not until I guess not even then. He held on to the ball. Boy, that's a weird conversation to have because I go, well, not until you're a professional, but Malachi Corley is a professional wide receiver who dropped the ball on the way to the end zone.
Now, what would be
this happens at least once a year. As much as we warn people, this happens at least once a season in the NFL or major college football.
And no matter what, no matter how many teaching moments like yesterday where, I don't know, are you one of those where ripped from the headlines is how you coach your teams, like whatever happened this week in the NFL or college football that might have caught their attention, here's what we can do to work on it. Like, this is when you'd think all the coaches are now taking their kids and going, do not do this.
You would have to think, I mean, playoffs start tonight in high school. Somebody's got to bring it up today in the pregame or during the, you know, the walkthrough, something like that. Coaches will bring that up today.
I do like that. It really is. It's like,
because the kids will be talking, the high school kids especially will be talking about it.
Now, yeah. I'm going to dip out of this before I go on a rant about the playoff system here in the state of Ohio.
Oh,
so
I'd
please
like to hear more.
Take it away. Do you? I don't think you do. It's just more of the same feelings that I've had.
Which is what?
You know, you have a broken system when the bottom of the region doesn't want to play and they bow out and then go to basketball season. Okay, you know there's a broken system there. This is ridiculous. I've never seen such an over, and I'm an award winner, thanks to you, an award winner with the OHSAA, and I've never seen such an overt money grab in my entire life. It's ridiculous. You have these 0-9, 0-10 programs where some are just playing 9 now because of your ridiculous playoff situation, which people don't even want to talk about. You have these 0-9, 0-10 programs, or even 3-7 programs, taking on programs that haven't lost a football game in the regular season in 4 years, and they're expected to get something out of it. And I love the first argument was from people going, Ken, don't you wish you had one more high school football game?
Not like
yeah.
that.
You know why? Because it's 20 years later and I'm a loser. I'm not a high school kid at 17 years old. You know what a high school kid wants to do at 17 years old if he plays for a 2-8 team? Move on to basketball or wrestling season.
It's time.
That's
it's
what
time
they want
to
do.
Going.
They don't want to just go, yeah, give me one more game. Give me one more game under the lights. You have to play St. Ed's. Yeah, let me do that. Let me practice for another week and then have a running clock to start the second half. No, then none of them feel that way.
So here's
they
what
don't.
I don't get.
You can try to lie to them all you want. It doesn't work that way.
Said,
this is stupid.
They said they were expanding this because like the OHSAA was in some kind of a hole because of COVID. Okay,
what was the last count? They're $24 million in the green?
Yeah, so now we have to
the point
just
where they want to do revenue. They don't want to do revenue sharing. Guys like Dave Briggs, a good man, is stoking the fire going, you need to pass this on. Where's the money going to your member institutions here? This is $24 million in the green. Where's this money going
to? We're
going to
have to extend the playoffs even more. Let's go, even more teams. Are there any teams
left?
Are they out of teams in Division 1? How many teams make the playoffs now in Division One?
In Division One, Region One, I think there are 18 teams total, and they have 16 teams make the playoffs.
I apologize about Mekhi Becton. I apologize. I said Mekhi Becton. I apologize. I don't think he plays for the Jets. I think he plays for the Eagles.
I was going
he
with
does.
It.
Guys, I lost my keys, and I thought they were in the trash this morning. Both teams wear green. I apologize.
Disastrous morning.
He was digging through coffee grounds all morning.
Mitch, I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. I apologize. Thank you.
Those wet coffee grounds on your fingernails.
Oh, my God. I had to wash my hands again.
This doesn't carry over to Sunday, where you're just so in your own feelings about things you can't focus on what you need to focus on.
I'm sorry, guys.
It'll be used as an excuse in the post-game press conference.
I apologize over the Mekhi Becton.
Well, the week got off to a really bad start.
I thought we had the plan together, and then I lost my keys this morning, and we just couldn't get that defense going.
Meanwhile, the Cleveland Browns.
I won't be the defensive coordinator on Sunday. Ray will be back in charge. He's going to watch his daughter play college basketball. Ray played with Jason Taylor, buddy. You better watch out. He's a real guy. He will go after you.
I don't care.
I don't think we're going to be able to get through the show with you two.
I'm sorry.
You two bickering
with Victor Green
during famed rivalry week. On the fan. Jameis Winston had 334 yards passing thanks to maybe Ken Dorsey's play calling. Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator for the Browns and now play caller, was asked, hey, should you have been doing this all along?
No, I think, look, Kevin's called plays at a high level in this league for a long time. You know, he's been a multiple coach of the year for a reason, as a head coach and as a play caller. I got a lot of trust in Kevin, and I think if Kevin were calling it last week, I'd like to think we'd have very similar results, because it wasn't about the plays. It was about us going out and executing at a high level. Our preparation that week led to us having good things happen. I think that he's obviously done a great job for a lot of years, and we were good last week. The key is, though, consistency in this league. We got to do the same thing this week.
That was great. Ken Dorsey sounded like me or a few of our callers. Oh, he's a two-time coach of the year. And then you're going to have other people calling going, who cares? And then they go down the list of coach of the years in every sport that are terrible. So I do love that. Also, I bet you Stefanski, if he caught wind of Ken Dorsey calling him the two-time coach of the year, is going to get in his face and say never again. Because you remember, after he won it the first time and we had him, I think, on the phone, and we're like, coach of the year. And he's like, nobody calls me that. I do not want anybody calling me that.
Not
by
after
that.
One, but after two.
Do you think
two.
After two?
Come on.
Does he have a parking spot that says two-time coach of the year?
Has to.
In Berea. Kevin would what never
allow
it. What
if he had a personalized license plate that said 2X, COY? What would you think then? What would you
it
think?
It would change
Kev?
Everything. It would change everything.
That would be a different thought with old Kev mm-hmm. there. I go, maybe we need to get back to basics here, bud.
I would agree. Do you think if he had that?
We had a coach who had a personalized license plate before.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I'll talk to you about that during the break. But
what did Hugh Jackson say? What did his car say?
No, it didn't. That wasn't him.
Now, if you did have that on the license plate, you know for a fact, at some point, the players are going to block him in. They are going to block him in.
No.
They'll be up to parking lot hijinks.
This vehicle was so large, no one could have blocked it in.
And finally, Joel Bitonio did not practice here at the end of the week, but he did talk about his situation and how he's feeling, how he's just an old man trying to play football these days.
I'm working through it right now, you know. We'll see how the week goes.
So did you get rolled up on or something?
You know, that's the crazy thing. I don't quite remember. I woke up Monday morning and I was like, feels a little bit off, you know what I mean? Let's check it out. But, yeah, we got a great medical team here, and we're kind of working through it. We got a good plan, and we'll see how it goes.
He's at that stage, Kenny.
At least he said he woke up Monday morning. Like, if he woke up on Wednesday morning, he's like, oh, let's say, ooh, boy, you just wake up with things.
Yeah, you get to that point. Good. You get to that point. They do got some guys on a team like that. I feel like Conklin might be one of those guys. By the way, unsung hero from last week. I mean, we talk about the job the offensive line did.
Yeah.
Conklin, I'd kind of written off in my head. I'm like, this is it for him. No, people that looked at the tape were like, he kind of dominated last week. So that was good to see.
That was really good.
Or about last night.
Outstanding. Basic question, guys. It's as easy as it gets. Is this a big game? How big a game is it? Are you back in? Do you believe there's a glimmer of hope for the playoffs again? If Lima can stoke his heart to believe that there is a glimmer of hope here, most of you are much more positive people than Anthony. If Anthony can believe it, I imagine a lot of you. Now, we did get calls to the contrary when it comes to Jameis Winston yesterday. I went after a caller who went after me over Jameis Winston, over this offense, and it's always the coulda, woulda, shoulda. They should have thrown this pick. They should have thrown that pick. Okay, well, they didn't. They won 29-24. And he still moved the ball down the field. If you have a quarterback that's not afraid to throw the ball, that means he's going to throw some interceptions because he ain't afraid to throw those interceptions. They didn't catch him. I took what I could get. I don't think it was. Guys, if they would have scored, you remember the game that Johnny beat the Titans years ago and they threw two big bombs? I remember I came in here and I felt worse about it. And my co-host at the time felt worse about it. He wanted to know why. And I go, they didn't move the ball down the field. And he went, exactly. Because everything was like a test. I mean, that guy had played professional football. And so he was like, he was like proud that I got it right. I was like, they didn't move the ball down the field. They didn't conduct an offense. They beat a terrible team on two broken plays to Travis Benjamin. If they would adjust, and one was a broken coverage when it comes to Cedric Tillman. But you had to put yourself in position to do that. He threw for 334 yards. They moved the ball down the field. They scored on 4 of 6 drives in the second half. Like, they were good. They were good. And that was the difference to me with Jameis Winston as compared to the first 7 games of the season with Deshaun Watson. But now we get ready for this game. The Ravens game was a great big win, but it's Friday. We got to get ready for the Chargers coming to town. Their defense is good. They will try to make sure that you make no mistakes. They make very few mistakes. They do not throw a lot. They don't turn the ball over, really. They don't try to put the ball in the air too much. Justin Herbert's probably put the ball in the air as little as he ever has. He only has 8 touchdowns. But he only has 1 interception. I mean, they play old-style football over there. So you're going to have to drive on them. You're going to have to not make mistakes, not turn the ball over. So Jameis is going to have to be pinpoint there. And you want to find yourself in a position, a classic football, where you're up 2 possessions with 9 minutes left to go, and you're trying to salt this thing away. I think it becomes more of a possession game in the fourth quarter than it does, hey, we got to get some points here. We got to extend this. I think it becomes more possessions, because I think if you get 2 possessions on them, I think they have to drive on you, and I think that they would take up so much time that you would put yourself in a more advantageous position. Now, they have Khalil Mack and Derwin James still. They got some good football players over there. I don't think this is going to be some runaway. They're a 4-3 football team. I know they took some weaponry away, but they're still good.
Yeah, nobody really scares you with their offense, just looking at it. I mean, they've got, you know, J.K.
Dobbins looking better.
Dobbins had the great start to the season. Since then, it really hasn't been as great. Gus Edwards has been their backup. He's like 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, it's whatever.
And then their receivers. I mean, think about the receivers you used to go up against. They were big in name and big in stature when you would go up against the Chargers. We had all these close games with them over the years. It seems like the Chargers would be able to pull out in recent times. Their number one target has twice as many targets as anybody else is Ladd McConkey. He was a second round pick, and he has been really, really good. But after that, I don't think our fans would have any idea who their guys are. They are not exactly box office names.
No.
But just goes to show you the type of football they play. It's not a sexy team, but it's a really interesting clash, because the Browns team we saw last week obviously was a totally different team, and obviously we're keeping our eyes glued to the injury report, and you know, hopefully Betonio is going to be able to play, and then defensively, you know, I imagine not only is JOK, we already know, is out, but Denzel's probably not going to play.
Yeah.
So does that change? I mean, Chargers, they're not a team that really airs it out all that much, so maybe that mitigates what normally, if Denzel doesn't play, that mitigates what would be a big weakness.
Yeah, like, don't take this the wrong way. This can be seen as a slight. They're professionals, and it's a well-coached football team. Jim Harbaugh, for his faults, is a good football coach. And in the NFL, is a really good football coach, because now it's not under the guise of whatever college football is supposed to be anymore, whatever that definition is to most people out there. He can get a team prepared, and they will be prepared on Sunday. I don't think that they will go out there and look listless against the Browns. I'm waiting for the game where they get to go out there and some team just falls apart, and then we get to smoke a cigar for the fourth quarter and everything's fine. I don't think it's going to happen against the Chargers. I think they're going to make you do all those things that I said about it. So how big of a game is this? Do you let yourself as a fan? Like, they are 2-6. That's an uphill battle. Like, I got to get to Sunday afternoon. And whether or not we make big decisions on the future of this football team, I mean, if they win this football game, they're 3-6. I'm saying hold your horses on any of these big-time trades. Like, there are guys I think you could trade, or you could make the argument to trade, and you'd still be a competitive team. I still don't know if I want to make those decisions based on future injuries, hedging the bets against future injuries. But if you lose this game and you go to 2-7, I mean, I think that that's it for a lot of people. You win it, you get to a bye week. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to think that there's a brighter light at the end of
there's
the tunnel.
There's a roadmap.
There. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Even if it still seems like the odds makers would put you still in a deep, deep hole, it's why I'm watching the Jets game yesterday and going, man, the Jets stink. And they got three wins. So, yeah, it stinks that they won. But, you know, could I see a world where Jameis Winston has a Joe Flacco run in him?
I mean, I think it's difficult to repeat. I didn't think going into the season you could do that again, but that's really the hope that you have now. Your defense can play at a decent level. You're hoping that Jameis Winston can. And remember, after this bye week, if you can get this win, you go to 3-6. You're at New Orleans, which is a 1 o'clock game, and then the rest of it's AFC opponents. So you'll get to figure it out real quick after that moment whether or not you're able to do it. But I think that we have kind of undersold this week for a lot of fans how important this game really is, because it's not just trying to keep your head, I can't say, above water. You're trying to get back to the surface right now. You're not just trying to do that. You're trying to figure out what guys are going to stay. Like Greg Newsom, he could very well play his last game as a Cleveland Brown on Sunday. There's definitely other names out there that people would figure out of whether or not they played their last game as a Cleveland Brown on Sunday. I mean, Elijah Moore all of a sudden shows up on tape. Is Elijah Moore a trade candidate? Because I don't think that he's going to get re-signed after this year. Can you still compete without Elijah Moore after this season if Cedric Tillman goes out and has another nice game again?
That opens things up. That makes you feel a lot better about that. Already, by the way, I've already seen people say that it's already been an upgrade over Amari Cooper.
Well,
and I mean, who would have said that before the season?
I think that's a bit of a strong commentary by some people out there. I'm not going to say that yet. But, like, do you have enough where, okay, I can make a move with Elijah Moore. I can still have Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman. Can Jamari Thrash be active and show anything? Or Jalen Darden or who the hell do they have? James Roche on the practice squad or someone like that. Could somebody there help you out where, okay, I can get a return for Elijah, but I can also still conduct an offense.
Here's a great thing. If you would have said that while Watson was the quarterback and he wasn't getting off that first read, you'd go, my God, no, nobody.
I wouldn't be talking about Elijah Moore. No one's going to trade for him.
Yeah. No, and nobody's going to be able to step up in the absence if you traded Elijah Moore. Like, nobody could do that. But with Jameis, if the guys can run a route in the Stefanski/Dorsey offense, they're going to be open. You know Jameis is going to put it on them. He's going to take chances to put it on him.
I don't even know the difference in the offense. The plays looked a lot similar on Sunday than they have in a lot of other places. 216-474-0092. Okay, how big a game is this? You know how I felt all week. And we bickered about it earlier. Lima has sort of seen a little bit of a flicker of light there at the end of the tunnel. If you're feeling better about that, 216-474-0092. How big is this game for you since Lima has been able to cross the aisle on this? It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.